Welcome to Kuv.com. I'm your host, David Medor. We are interviewing with Kim Wyman. Kim is running for Secretary of State for the state of Washington. You're one of two candidates. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, David. Thank you.
First, I expect that there are a number of people that don't really realize what the job description is for Secretary of State. Can you, in a nutshell, describe what that entails?
I sure can. The Secretary of State is an executive office that has three primary responsibilities. First, the Secretary of State is the chief elections officer for the state of Washington, so oversees elections and ballot initiatives and referendum petition checks and things. So that's probably the most high-profile part of the office. The Secretary is also the chief corporations officer, so overseeing all of the for-profit and nonprofit corporation filings in our state. And then finally, the chief historian. So the state archives and state library rest in the Secretary of State's office. So it's a pretty eclectic job and a very important one, I think.
Okay. Define the word eclectic.
Eclectic because it's three parts of state government that really aren't connected to one another. I mean, they're very different tasks. It's very similar to the job I currently do as county auditor, where you have responsibilities that aren't really interrelated, you know. So you look at some of the other statewide positions, and they're pretty homogenous. You know, the attorney general does legal matters for the state, and the state auditor does auditing for the state, whereas the secretary of state, it's really kind of this mix of responsibilities.
Okay. So that's, in a nutshell, it sounds like an entrusted position where you want to have objectivity, you want to have fair and impartial, you want to be detail-oriented, you want to have the kind of experience that will allow you to be able to fulfill that job without anybody questioning your credentials or your credibility or your integrity. How do you meet those qualifications? And in fact, maybe let me just let you define what should the ideal qualifications be for Secretary of State, and how do you compare to that ideal?
Well, I think the ideal qualifications for Secretary of State is someone first who has elections experience. We certainly have seen over the last 12 years the importance of a Secretary of State being, one, impartial, and two, understanding election laws and understanding how to implement them, because we've seen it in our state, certainly in 2004. We saw it in the presidential race in 2000 in Florida, where you had a very partisan Secretary of State, and that really undermined the credibility of that election for a lot of voters. And then you've seen it in Minnesota and some other states. So it's really imperative that the Secretary of State has the experience and background of conducting elections and knows how to deal with all of the new federal laws that have come out of the 2000 election and all of the litigation that followed it. I think really if you think about it, election officials are like umpires. And so if you think back a couple weeks ago to the Seahawk game, and you remember when the end of the game came down to one final call, that, you know, half of the people that watched that game did not believe that the Packers lost. And, of course, the Seahawks were kind of happy with the outcome. And that's really a great metaphor for elections, because my job as an election official is making the losers believe that the laws were followed and that it was a fair election. So I think that's probably one of the most important qualities a secretary can have.
Okay. When it comes to the, you mentioned partisanship or having basically not an unbiased position, I expect that there are candidates that periodically run for that position and they have a partisan agenda. How can that really play itself out? I mean, what can go wrong in that situation?
Well, I think we've seen it play out. Certainly saw it in Florida 2000, where Catherine Harris was a very partisan Secretary of State. And, again, her job is to make sure that people believe that the election was fair. And I think many people across the country believe that she was doing things that favored, at the end, George Bush. So I think that partisanship really has to be non-existent in the Secretary of State's office, like the county auditor's office, and that's really probably the thing that the real contrast with my opponent and I, because I have nearly a 20-year record of being very nonpartisan in how I do my job at the county. And the county auditor performs a lot of the functions of the Secretary of State at the county level, conducts elections, oversees licensing, oversees the county's history. And I am a partisanly elected official. I'm a Republican, but my county is very Democratic-leaning, and I'm the only countywide elected Republican, I believe in part because of the nonpartisan way we conduct business in my office. And I think that that is really the critical role of the Secretary of State, is being nonpartisan. We saw Sam Reed in 2004 really stand up to the Republican Party and say, I'm going to follow the law, even though I know that this is going to not fit well with a lot of people in my own party. And I think that's what we need in a Secretary of State, is someone who is going to make sure that the laws are applied impartially. And that's a contrast with my opponent. My opponent in debates has said publicly that she plans to be an advocate for her issues as Secretary of State. And one of the things that I have always applied in my current job and plan to as Secretary of State is to make sure that I'm very nonpartisan in how I do business.
And partisan mean the Republican or Democrat basically rooting or advocating for a particular side, for a particular party. I like your analogy when it comes to a umpire. You just got to be objective.
Right. It's important because, like I said, you look at that Seahawks game, the winners you don't really have to convince much of. They're going to be happy as long as they win. It's the losers who have to walk away and feel like, well, you know, we didn't win, but we, you know, the game was decided because of the way we played, not because of an interpretation of a rule. And that's how elections are. You know, the losers need to be convinced that it was a fair election.
Okay, we were extending the invitation for an interview to all of the candidates that are going to be on the Clark County ballot. So it doesn't matter what party, whatever. The task for voters here is to be able to see the contrast between the two candidates so that they can select the one that fits the job description the best. We don't want to be negative, and so far you're very positive about everything. I just want to make sure that we can still also draw a contrast between your qualifications, your background, and the other person running. Can you contrast them in a way that's respectful to both sides?
Oh, of course. Well, first of all, the reason that I'm running for Secretary of State is for the last 20 years, I've been really performing that duty at the county level. So I have 20 years experience conducting elections. I've conducted over 85 elections in Thurston County. I'm a certified election administrator both within the state of Washington and nationally. And that's really the core of what's driving me to run for the office. And then I believe that just my experience in the auditor's office has prepared me in a very unique way to take on those bigger responsibilities for the entire state. This is a position, if you really think about it, that oversees 250 employees and has about 6.8 million customers. And you really need the management experience to do that job.
Okay, so that tells about your qualifications, and I assume that you are familiar with the qualifications of your opponent, your challenger.
Yes.
Can you tell us what you know about how her qualifications contrast?
Yeah, and the contrast is really her background is more from a legislative and a policy background. So she spent a single term in the state Senate in the 5th District, which is up near Issaquah, and in the early 90s, so 92 to 96. And so her background is there legislatively, and then she worked in the governor's office as a policy analyst. So her background is much more kind of legislative and in a policy advising role, which is great for, you know, working in the legislature or working in the governor's office, but a very different role if you're going to lead an executive office. And I think that that is one of the biggest contrasts between her and I, is my experience is actually that leadership management experience of overseeing, supervising, you know, hundreds of employees and overseeing multi-million dollar budgets and being responsible for those budgets to the voters. So it's one thing to work in an executive-level office. It's very different to be the executive who's making the policy decision and is held accountable at the polls every 4 years. So I've been elected 4 times in Thurston County, and, you know, like I said, I'm running on my record, and I think that's probably the biggest difference between us two.
And so the challenger is your opponent is actually a legislator.
She was, yeah.
Was, and so anybody who's filling that position, they've certainly need to feel passionately about the priorities and the directions that the we ought to go direction-wise. So that's a certainly a partisan versus nonpartisan kind of a view. But I expect that people they can govern themselves pretty well, and when it comes to the trying to be fair and be just simply nonpartisan, if it but it, if it comes if you've been doing it for 20 some years, I expect sounds like it would be a good qualification for you. I'm a little puzzled because it sounds like there is a contrast between this office, which is really ought to be nonpartisan. It really ought to be just simply neutral, and yet it's a partisan office. I mean, you're running as a Republican or as a Democrat. How can that be?
Well, the executive offices in Washington State are, with the exception of Superintendent of Public Instruction, are partisan offices, and that's defined in state statute. So, I think a lot of it goes to the partisanship in the legislature. So you have a legislature that sets the laws for our state, and I think some of it is people like to have an easy sort of read of how a state breaks, so they can look at key offices at the state level. They can look at the way the majority is in the House and the Senate, and they can tell a lot about the state. And I think that that's part of why historically it's been a partisan office. I think that it's the parties and partisan people nationally like to look and kind of get an easy check. I don't know if that's the best reason to have a partisan Secretary of State, but I think historically that's probably how it came about. Is it's an indicator of how a state is politically.
Okay. In the primary, did you were there more than two challengers or two candidates? Okay.
Yes, there were. We had seven candidates in the primary. We had three Democrats, one independent or nonpartisan, that didn't prefer a party preference, and then we had and I'm drawing a blank here. We had two other minor party candidates, and I can't remember
Okay.
one was libertarian. Anyway, we had two other candidates.
How did you do in the primary compared to your challenger?
Well, I came out first out of the seven, so I was first, and then Kathleen Drew was the second place finisher out of the seven candidates.
So you had some reason to
And
celebrate there.
I, yes, I was very happy. It's where you want to be at the end of a primary, that's for sure.
Okay, would you like to be able to address, just simply speak directly to the voters and just simply relate to them, whatever you want to relate to wrap up.
Sure. I think that this is one of the most important races on the ballot this year because it really is going to determine the direction of our state's elections into the future. And I like I said, I'm running on a track record of being very fair and unbiased in the way that I conduct business in my office, and that is the way that I will conduct myself as Secretary of State. And I feel very strongly that we need to protect every voter's vote, no matter, if it's a Democratic vote, a Republican vote, an independent vote. We need to have someone that is making sure that the laws, and more importantly, the administrative rules that are set by the Secretary of State, are being set by someone who has that nonpartisan approach to the job. And then also remember that this is an executive level position that really has a lot of responsibility for overseeing people and budget and really being a steward of the office. And we need someone with actual management experience, not someone who's just made policy recommendations. We need someone who's actually, led people and is a national leader. And that's really what I bring to this position and bring as a candidate. And I ask for people to look at the voter pamphlet statements in the state voters pamphlet and look online. They can go to kimwyman.com and they can get information about me and make a choice based on experience, I hope, because experience matters in this race.
Okay, Wyman.
Yes.
Okay.
Kimwyman. Yes.
Okay. I do have one last question I thought of as you're wrapping up there, and that is
Okay.
voter proof of citizenship for people that register to vote. When we these I believe that we're one of the either the only or one of the two states in the union that don't require proof of citizenship when people register when they get their driver's license and they're handed a voter registration form at the time, and they're just simply going on their word Do you have any feelings about, is that, should we change that, or is that just, or is it fine like it is?
Well, this is certainly the flashpoint issue nationally, and you're hearing a lot about voter ID requirements in other states, and it's become a very partisan issue. So I think that one of the things our state does very well, and probably is the most important part of the Secretary of State's role, is keeping that balance between security, you know, where people believe that, you know, that an election is fair and that it's secure and you have eligible voters who are casting ballots, and balancing that with access, that making sure that everybody who is eligible has the opportunity to register and vote. And I think our state has done a good job of that. I believe that vote by mail, quite frankly, has really neutralized some of the ID discussions you're hearing about nationally. But you're right when you say we're one of only two states that doesn't ask for proof of legal presence at the time of driver's licensing. And I think if we're going to take the next steps in voter ID, that's where it makes sense to start, is if you're going to begin to try to verify the voter registration rolls, you've got to have a list. There isn't a list of U.S. citizens. It doesn't exist. So, you know, one place over time where you could begin to build that and is, you know, makes sense is driver's licensing. And certainly this is a discussion that really needs to be vetted in the legislature and really thought through. But I think we have to be careful how we move forward. But the key is maintaining that balance that people feel that there is security and there's access. And it's going to be tough. I mean, that's one area my opponent has said that I'm for, you know, really trying to disenfranchise voters and trying to keep people away from the polls. And it's simply not true. I've spent 20 years making sure that the eligible voter has an opportunity to vote and participate, and I will continue to advocate for that, but also balance that security out.
And the way you can balance that security is you would do something more right now than what you're doing right now. You would require some kind of a proof of presence. Legal presence.
I think that, you know, I think as a state we need to have that discussion and what makes sense. And, you know, that there's been, like I said, the discussion up to this point has been a very partisan one in other states. And what's coming to our state is my opponent has certainly said that, you know, voter suppression is happening in other states, and Kim Wyman wants to continue that here, you know, because she's a Republican. And that's simply not true. What I would like to see is you know, people have concerns on both sides. You have people on the probably more conservative end of the spectrum who are concerned that you have people who are not eligible, either they're not old enough or they are not citizens or they are maybe are incarcerated and are under supervision of the Department of Corrections, that you know, they want to make sure that only eligible voters are voting, and the other end of the spectrum, on the probably more liberal side of the aisle, they want to make sure that everybody has access to participate. And I think we just have to get both sides to sit down and talk this through and move forward in a really thoughtful way, because how you administer those rules does have an effect on the outcome of elections, and we don't want the administrative rules to affect the outcome of elections. So I am open to thoughtful discussion, and I think that, you know, we do need to have that just to keep people's confidence. I think that's probably the thing that drives me most in seeking this office, is my job is to maintain people's confidence that the elections are fair and accurate and impartial.
Okay, very good. Last question. You mentioned when you first started state archives, and I guess that's related to open government. Yeah. Is it true
Absolutely.
That Washington State has the latest technology, the best form of safeguarding and putting online accessible, searchable state archives of records, public records?
Yes. Yes, Sam Reed and the Digital Archives has been a real, certainly on the forefront in archives across the country. He has set the bar, and other states are trying to catch up. The biggest challenge we have, quite frankly, is we still have a lot of documents that haven't been imaged, that are not electronic format, and we are out of space at our state archives location. We're now starting to have to lease space to take care of all of the records, because not all records are, like I said, digitized. So
you're talking about, when you say out of space, you're talking about the paper for
paper,
physical,
yes.
But there's plenty of space in the digital realm, right?
Yes, there is. And the biggest problem is how do you convert all of that paper that, you know, remember, it's not just state government, but you have local governments, counties, cities, towns that have documents that have to be archived and have to be protected. And those all go to the state archives. But you have to convert a lot of those documents to a digital image, and that takes, of course, resources to make that happen. So while SAM has made some huge strides, there's still a lot more work to be done, and we need to make it a priority. It's been an area that I know has been cut in the budget, and it needs to be a priority because we're talking about our state's history, and we need to preserve it for the next generation and make it accessible to everyone.
Yes, and I would think that if you budget for it now, then you do all the catch up, get them. It's a one-time thing to catch up, get all those old archives from paper into the digital realm, and thereafter it should be much easier because hopefully all of these entities are generating digital from the beginning rather than just simply keep pushing and making real physical paper. So you're behind that. You're a big supporter of that.
I am, and part of the challenge isn't so much the image. I mean, obviously, many of us have scanners in our home where we can take paper and turn it into an electronic image. It's the indexing of it. So you can scan and make copies of, you know, a 1,000-page document, but you have to at some point create the index that says, this is John Smith's deed from, you know, Thurston County, and make that a searchable record so that 10 years from now someone can search on John Smith and find that deed in Thurston County. So actually the thing that's most time-consuming is the actual indexing and creating that information so you can find that document later. And that's probably the most labor-intensive part about the whole project.
Yes, where we can find what you're looking for. I've heard a good definition for a genius. A genius is not somebody who knows everything. We can all be geniuses because a genius is somebody who can find everything. You can only find it if you have a good index and if you have a searchable database. Well, very good.
Correct.
Any last words?
I think that is it. I really appreciate you taking time to talk about this office. It's very down ballot, and a lot of people don't know very much about it, so I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, very good. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.